Man, I really want to go down a Phil Collins rabbit hole right about now.
I got to wonder what I-95 Jared Johnson thinks about Phil Collins. You a Phil Collins
listen,
guy?
Hold on. This is the defining moment in our relationship, Jared Johnson. Choose your answer wisely. Phil Collins, go.
I mean, you got to love the guy.
Yes. There we go.
That is the correct answer.
That's why we talked to you on Monday.
That is the correct answer.
Here's what's weird about Phil Collins. That song gets played in every NFL stadium during pregame. And I don't know why. Like, why? How did that start? And why do people love it?
It's a great song.
Well, what is it?
No, I know it's a great song, but not in that setting. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's from, well, it got really famous. Wasn't it The Hangover with Mike Tyson where he puts it on?
Yes.
And he has them hostage. It's been more famous before that, but it's since come back into the consciousness of the public, I think, through The Hangover.
Like even like Ray and all those guys, like I'm thinking this is Phil Collins and everybody's getting so fired up.
I was like
Ray, why do y'all like that song? And he's like, I don't know the name of that song, but man, the drums, man, they just get fired up, you know.
He
and
doesn't they're even
all
know the name.
Jumping around, like headbutting each other to Phil Collins.
It's like Ray, right?
It's hilarious.
You do realize this is Phil Collins, right?
It's
Ray.
Phil Collins, right?
Phil Collins.
Phil. Yeah, it's Phil Collins, right?
And what about the conspiracy theory over that? What do you feel about that?
What?
The dude actually watched somebody drown, and he wrote that song.
Oh, In the Air Tonight was written? Oh, yeah, that's an urban
legend. I don't know that.
Someone drown.
Oh, Phil Collins?
Yeah.
The song is about a true situation.
Really? But is it true? Or just conspiracy? Or we
absolutely
don't know.
Absolutely, it's true. He was on a boat and watched a guy drown and wrote the song.
No.
So, I hear he wrote Susu's Studio while he beat a man to death in a studio with a pool cue.
That is true.
That's a true story. That's fact. It's in his biography.
Cooked out of his mind.
CBS Sunday morning. He was just doing rail after rail.
Number 95, Jared Johnson.
Here we are on a Monday morning. Four-game skid.
Not looking good at all. What is up? What do you chalk it up to?
I don't know, man. It's really frustrating because they're not a bad team. They just play bad. You know what I'm like?
I think they are a bad. Well,
like, for example, I'm not a bad painter. I'm just bad at painting.
Like, it's a giant if, but, like, you know, we had a caller, you know, that said, and everybody said, if we were all healthy and we had, you know, all the guys that were paying all this money, however much money was left on the bench, it was like $60 million worth of players.
Seven Pro Bowlers.
That were hurt. Yes, if we had all of them, maybe we'd be a good team, but we don't have all of them, and we're not a good team.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's and you could say that every. You know, that's
right.
Why teams are bad. You know, this is the NFL. It's in college, so you either have your good players on the field or you don't, and that's it. But it's weird. Okay, so they score on special teams, very hard to do. Block a field goal, five sacks, had some nice chunk passes. You know, so those are all good things. But. I mean, the rushing yards, I mean, 155-6. You know, we had another, you
Six.
Know, terrible mistake with defensive players around the football, you know, which cost us against the Redskins a few weeks ago.
What are you taught in that situation? Just
he's just got to jump
the
on
dirt.
The ball. He's
just either hit the dirt.
Yeah, because you know, we had Ed, those guys love to score to be
God.
Aggressive. You know,
Ed would lateral it like it was his job, and it's like, come on,
just hit the deck, man.
But for especially big guys, we had a list of guys who were allowed to score and guys just jump on the football.
Did you really?
Really?
Really? Really? Really?
And it was sort of funny, like a joke, but it was really serious. Like, if you're 300 pounds, just get on the
just
football.
Get on the ball.
Especially when you're and see, the bad thing is the series before they turn the ball over and they hold they get down on the goal line, they stop them. That's a huge situation. They hold them to a field goal. It's a huge situation for a defense. Then you come around another turnover, you hold them again, you get a fumble. You know, if you do that two plays in a row, that's winning football. Those are good things. And we turn around and fumble it right back to him. So he's going to be around for a long – he's a really, really – Timmy's
Timmy
a really
Jernigan's
good player.
Great.
He's a great player. But, you know, defensive players just a lot of times just make stupid decisions with footballs when they have the football in their hand. And he just got to jump on it or stay in the end zone. Like, don't bring it out of the end zone. Like, what are you doing, man?
And Webby goes down – And it's looking more and more like, man, he's not the answer at safety. And I know you played with him, and he's a good player, but he's injury prone. He's got the back thing, yeah. Now his hamstring and all that. After that game, I don't want to see him not be a Raven, but right now in that position, it ain't a good fit for him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, it was good. It was good that they moved into safety. You know, he struggled the last couple of years at corner. You know, but I'm not gonna speak on that. I love Whibby.
I brought up this with Millsy about, you know, we got a lot of people hurt, and it's about getting these people getting them healthy at the start of the season, getting them strong and fit, keeping them healthy, and then when they do get hurt, getting them back to being healthy. Which, you know, falls on the training staff and the strength and conditioning coaches,
right.
At which the Ravens have made a change just this past year. How much of that factors into what's happening with our players?
I don't know. It depends. The problem with most injuries is a lot of that stuff is, in my opinion, overrated. A lot of once you're hurt and you're recovering, like, you know, you get your treatment, your ice, your stem, all the hundreds of machines and all the different. But what an injury really needs is just time and rest. What you don't do during an NFL season is rest.
You don't
have
time
to do
right.
it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they spend unbelievable amounts of money on all these different machines and different theories on how to get a hamstring better and hiring all these different guys. And it's because that's what you do to stay competitive. The Ravens are always going to have top notch. You know, they're always going to be first class in the way they treat their players and what the players have available to them to stay on the field. But, you know, a lot of it, you can't do anything about it. You know, it's just unfortunate. It does seem like in today's game I don't know if there's, you know, if this is backed by research or anything, but it does seem like guys are hurt
more
and for longer.
We talked to Stan White about it, and he said, you know, back in his day, especially with the preseason and, you know, the training camps, that when you would go 100%.
Yeah.
And that would almost get you prepared, because if you're going 65, 70% for however many weeks, and then all of a sudden you're demanding 100, 110%. That's when things are going to break.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know anything about it. I'm not an athlete, but for me, that's my train of thought.
Like, Jared, I'll compare it to the way I hear, like, fighters train. Fighters in the UFC will train harder in sparring than they know that they will go in the actual fight. So by the time the fight gets there, it's not that bad.
Right.
So if everyone's red-shirting and everyone's going half speed or whatever, then like Scott says, by the time they get out there and they do get a 300-pound lineman that just puts them in the dirt and they haven't had that in months – yeah. That's going to put you behind the eight ball immediately. Jared, I look forward to hearing you talk more Kirk this Thursday, Jared Johnson Show.
Cut me off, man.
Every Thursday. Yeah,
you want to come back?
I don't even get to respond.
You want to hang out, go get a cup of coffee or whatever. We'll come back with Millsy in sports, and you want to come back on with us?
Can we do a double shot of I-95 today? I think a four-game slide calls for it.
We'll clear spots in about 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, why not? What do I got to do?
Done and done.
I think we have a special guest joining us back on the air.
I-95,
Jarrett Johnson.
Jarrett Johnson still with us. And don't forget, at 90andonline.com, full post-game coverage, Harbaugh's press conference, Jerry Sandusky with game highlights, game photos, a game I'm not sure you want to remember, 90andonline.com. Jarrett, thank you for continuing to hang with us, man.
What's up? I'm still here.
Mentally, how do you, as a team, as a player, four-game skid, just kind of looking like it's not going your way? How do you stay positive? Do you even stay positive, or do you just cash your check and just keep doing what you do?
Yeah, no, man. It depends on what kind of person you are. What, you know, what kind of player you are.
Right.
Are you a Weddle or are you a Hainsworth? At this point, that's a great question. This is like a time where you're going to find out.
This is a big test.
Where
check, baby.
The metal of these players as people, are they going to they're going to turtle up and just ride the season out, or are they going to rage against the dying of the light?
Yeah, and I did my show on Friday night, and you know, we were talking about the 2008 season, Harbaugh's first season, And we had – that was probably the – other than my rookie year, that was probably the hardest training camp I ever went through. I mean, it was extremely physical. It was just really intense. Had a lot of guys hurt. And we were coming off the 2007 season when we were terrible. And so we win the first two. Everybody's excited. Then we go on a three-game skid. And I remember after the third game, we lost really bad to Indianapolis. I remember being on the plane and kind of thinking like, all right, you know, we just lost three in a row. This is going to be like 2007 again. Just talking, the season's not going to go as well. But I remember just kind of thinking like, okay, we're going to be bad again, so we're just going to beat the hell out of everybody.
Right.
And we all kind of had that mentality like, all right, this game, this is a really good team. Probably not going to win, so we're just going to go freaking start a fight, like get after them. And then we won a game. And then, oh, wait a minute, we won another one, and then another one. And I think we won like seven in a row.
Seven in a row, yeah.
And then go to the AFC Championship that year. But after that three-game skid, it really felt like we were going to have another 5-11 season. But we reacted like, you know, like a bunch of freaking dogs. And we stayed hurt the entire season. That was the year LaRon McClain had to play running back because we were so beat up. And we just pounded people, man. Yeah. It was awesome. So we'll see how these guys respond. I think we got a lot of those guys in the locker room. But we'll see.
Well, that was what I was about to ask you. Let's just say they adopt that mindset that you did in 2008, and you say, screw it, they all expect us to lose. Why bother? Let's just go out there and let's just crack some skulls and play
some damn football.
Some real, I mean, nasty, longest yard football, and all of a sudden you start to win. Do we have those dogs on this team, the people that are still out there that aren't injured? Do we have that viciousness from this crew? To pull something like that off?
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, I'd like to think so. I mean, we do definitely in spots with, you know, Timmy Jernigan, you know, Sizz is still out there. You know, Zachary Orr, he didn't play real well this past game, but I think he's a really good player.
Brandon Williams
is a beast, dude. Brandon Williams is a great player. Eric's a great player. You know, so we got those guys. But I don't know. It's yet to be seen. I think they can.
JJ, this is Keith, and you mentioned that conversation we had Friday night, which was absolutely fantastic. And you also mentioned something interesting when you went from a backup to a starter. You had said that, man, sometimes guys get comfortable as a backup, and being a starter overwhelms them a little bit. Share that with this audience, because that's I don't think this group kind of heard what you said the other night. That was really cool.
You know, I backed up. I was a role player for 4 years. Only started in those 4 years, probably, I don't know, a handful of games. Let's say 10 games. And, you know, when you go from a backup, when you're a backup, you play your special teams, you have your little packages that you're on defensively or offensive, whatever it is, and there's not a lot of pressure on you. You go out there, you just cut it loose, you get after it, and then you back out. You know, you're not on the field enough to make a lot of mistakes. You work on very specific things that you're able to hone in on, and your little packages. You know, it's a great way to learn. Well, when you're playing 75%, 80% or 80 plays or 100% of the plays, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on you, and so it all depends on how a lot of guys use that to motivate them. They get really excited, and they get out there and they play great. A lot of guys get out there and they're like, holy cow, this is the big stage. I'm out here with the starters. And, you know, they kind of get the deer in headlights look. So I don't know if that's happening with the Ravens right now, you know, but because we are playing a lot of backups. But the good ones that you see, a Zachary Orr type, when you get the opportunity to start this year, you're seeing that. You're seeing that this guy can play and he's taking advantage of a situation.
You know who I'd like to get in the mind of right now? And when I ask, you know, do we have any, you know, dogs on this team willing to sink their teeth into someone? The preeminent example of that on this team is Steve Smith Sr. He is injured. He will come back. But I think about this guy who was supposed to be done last season, was disgusted with that 2015 season, said, this cannot be my final chapter in the book of Steve Smith. He comes back, starts off 3-0. All right, we're going to give this man the swan song that he asked for. But then now he finds himself here, injured again. Four losses in a row. I would like to see where he's at right now as far as a player who is, you know, in the twilight of his career, but wanted to end on a higher note.
JJ, I would assume he can't wait to get back on the field to help turn it around, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, with a player like that where he's older and he is, you see him just giving his all and leaving it all on the field, right?
Empty tank.
As a younger player looking at somebody like that, don't you stand in awe of that? And does that almost make you go, you look at this guy and you go, man, I really need to work harder. I need to be better. Yeah. I need to get better. This guy is 10 years older than me. He's outplaying me.
Yep.
He's playing hurt. He's been doing this at this level for years. And like, if I'm a player, I'm looking at myself in the mirror going, man, I really need to rethink what I'm doing here. And like, I need to take this to the next level. I mean, I would be inspired by that.
I hope they see that. You know, I hope that guys look at that and are just in awe. That's how I was when you see guys like that. Because you get that, you hear people say all the time, oh, those guys that make all that money, they don't care. They're just out there for a paycheck. Okay, go watch the dudes that make the most money, that are in the NFL the longest, and watch how they prepare. And when I noticed that, the first time I saw that was watching Ray and Jamal Lewis practice against each other. It was like, I mean, it was hard to describe. I mean, this is Ray's eighth year, still prime of his career.
Yep.
Big 255. You know, y'all know what Jamal looks like. Jamal
was a beast. Monster.
These two guys are going at it like, you know, like the two big bulls in the field headbutting each other. And they are after it. And I'm like, they got everything they want. Both first round picks, both Pro Bowlers.
Right,
both
they don't need
Super
to be
Bowls,
doing this.
Both got the money. The girl, like,
Super Bowl win.
They got it, and they are getting after it.
Yep.
Steve's the same way. Steve's got everything you would ever want, minus a Super Bowl ring. But other than that, he's got everything personally that he would ever want. And this dude is chomping at the bit. I hope guys look at that and are inspired.
It's that gamerness that gets you to that level and then keeps you to that level. Like, I made that Albert Haynesworth crack earlier. He was probably a gamer at one point, but then he got that check and he mentally checked out after he knew he got that big pile of money. But a Steve Smith, like you pointed out, Jamal Lewis, Ray Lewis, yourself included, these are people that, yes, like you said, people, they make the money, they get the checks, what do they care? They're there because they care. They're not happy about this.
No. And Haynesworth, his franchise year, you couldn't block the guy. I mean, he was unblockable. And then he gets his long-term deal that he played so hard to get, and, I mean, just straight yanked the cord.
Shut it down, man.
Jared Johnson, we're going to hear you again this Thursday, brother. We appreciate the extended time today, man. It was worth talking about. Yeah. Maybe next time we talk to you under better circumstances after the bye, Ravens taking on AFC North rivals, Pittsburgh Steelers, where they could return and be tied at the top of the division still. So it's not all end of days. Jared, thank you for your time, bud.